regarding and disrespecting people's lives, security and sanctities. Meanwhile, Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi has also vowed that the Islamic Republic would deliver a crushing response to those who were behind the bloodshed.
The ralliers have called on Iranian authorities to prosecute the main perpetrators of the heinous crime of terrorist attack in Shiraz and take all necessary measures to maintain security in the country as soon as possible. Saman Kujurip, Tehran.
In the limelight.
The U.S. has the largest external debt in the world, and its fiscal woes are getting worse. According to a U.S. Treasury Department report, the U.S. gross national debt has surpassed $31 trillion, edging closer to the statutory ceiling of roughly $31.4 trillion put in place by Congress, limiting the government's ability to borrow. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned, please. Asia Times had this headline saying, "Clock ticking down on U.S. debt time bomb." Asia Times wrote, "With U.S. debt over $31 trillion and U.S. credit market liquidity problems, the risk of a financial implosion is growing by the day. Between U.S. inflation at 40-year highs, the Federal Reserve tightening the most aggressively in 28 years, and the dollar trading at the sky-high levels, news that Washington's debt load is nearly twice the size of China's annual output is decidedly unwelcome. For now, the dollar is holding its own with its traditional role as a safe haven for remaining intact. Yet U.S. debt reaching nosebleed levels means the party's over, everyone," says Brian Riddle, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He was speaking for investors everywhere, but it is not just a shortage of safe havens. There are precious few havens, period. In the meantime, a surging debt load will only exacerbate Washington's challenges. The U.S. economy is likely to deteriorate in 2023, with consumer spending and business capital expenditure set to fall, while unemployment is likely to rise, says economist Karsten Berzeski at ING Bank. He added, "We expect a 75 basis point rate hike from the Federal Reserve in November and a further 50 basis points in December," he said, adding, "But mounting concerns about growth and the housing market are likely to lead to rate cuts from the third quarter of 2023. Amid so many challenges, Washington's fast-rising debt load is a new record no one should be proud of," says Maya McGuinness, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, adding, "In the past 18 months, we've witnessed inflation rise to a 40-year high, interest rates climbing in part to combat this inflation, and several budget-busting pieces of legislation and executive actions." His conclusion is grim, adding, "We are addicted to debt." Also, Global Times wrote, "Large U.S. debt raises concern about more extreme U.S. policies and possible instability." According to a U.S. Treasury Department report released recently, the U.S. gross national debt has surpassed $31 trillion. First, it's clear that the U.S. economy is in far less rosy shape than what many had forecast, with debts now trillions of dollars higher than its GDP, which was only about $23 trillion last year. Starting around 2013, U.S. debt began to steadily outstrip GDP. After 2020, it jumped to about 125% of the year's GDP, quickly soaring up to nearly 135% in 2021. As the rate of borrowing continues to climb, the unhealthy ratio of debt to GDP is expected to continue rising over coming years. On the one hand, the Biden administration hopes to suppress inflation, which will likely drag down the U.S. economy and employment. On the other hand, if the U.S. government chooses to stimulate the economy by increasing debt scale, investors will face greater pressure like rising capital cost, ultimately dampening economic growth prospects. It will be, therefore, difficult for the U.S. government to balance economic recovery and runaway inflation. Bai Ming, Deputy Director of the International Market Research Institute at the Chinese Academy of International Trade and Economic Cooperation, told the Global Times in an interview. He added, the U.S. debt ceiling has been raised many times, which to a large extent will also have an impact on the U.S. financial markets, objectively playing a negative role by adding fuel to the fire on top of interest hikes. Global Times added, the total debt of $31 trillion also indicates that there will be more intense political combat on issues related to congressional appropriations in Washington, which means almost all major federal projects and initiatives will be difficult to deliver, affecting the country's internal economic vitality and its external influence. In addition, experts added, the last time the U.S. debt was this close to its ceiling, the government was nearly forced to shut down. And the increasingly high debt will also harm the basic operation of the federal government. And an increasing debt burden will naturally raise concerns about the ability of the U.S. government to service the debt and even the possibility of extremes in future U.S. internal and external policies, such as provoking volatility, unrest, or even a war-oriented foreign policy to shift or even find ways to renege on its debt, which has indeed happened in U.S. history. This sentiment alone could potentially undermine the full faith and credit of the U.S. The Congressional Budget Office earlier this year released a report on America's debt load, warning in its 30-year outlook that if unaddressed, the debt will soon spiral upward to new highs that could ultimately imperil the U.S. economy, according to an AP report. According to Global Times, the current level of inflation in the U.S. should not be underestimated. Coupled with high oil prices, the energy disputes between the U.S., Europe, and Russia, as well as the Russia-Ukraine crisis and other complex international situations, the challenge of a $31 trillion national debt should be considered in the context of the risky crises currently facing Washington. If the persistent upward trend cannot be resolved, the attractiveness of the U.S. as a global pool of capital and talent will be further eroded, hitting its strength in all aspects. However, it's important to note the reality that the U.S. is accustomed to adopting various policies to deflect conflicts, leaving ordinary Americans and other countries to bear the ultimate cost. The U.S. is not playing the role of a stabilizer in the global economy that a major power should do. Instead, it has repeatedly held others accountable for the consequences when it makes mistakes. As the birthplace of several post-World War global economic crises, the U.S. could once again become a chaos maker at the expense of economic development around the world, given that the debt, as well as its economic and monetary policies, will all raise the possibility of another global financial crisis in the future. Also, New York Times wrote, America's gross national debt exceeded $31 trillion for the first time, a grim financial milestone that arrived just as the nation's long-term fiscal picture has darkened amid rising interest rates. The breach of the threshold, which was revealed in a Treasury Department report, comes at an inopportune moment, as historically low interest rates are being replaced with higher borrowing costs as the Federal Reserve tries to combat rapid inflation. While record levels of government borrowing to fight the pandemic and finance tax cuts were once seen by some policymakers as affordable, those higher rates are making America's debts more costly over time. New York Times added the $31 trillion threshold also poses a political problem for Biden, who has pledged to put the United States on a more sustainable fiscal path and reduce federal budget deficits by $1 trillion over a decade. Deficits occur when the government spends more money than it takes in the thorough tax revenue. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget estimates that Biden's policies have added nearly $5 trillion to deficits since he took office. That projection includes Biden's signature $1.9 trillion economic stimulus bill, a variety of new congressionally approved spending initiatives, and a student loan debt forgiveness plan that is expected to cost taxpayers nearly $400 billion over 30 years. White House budget officials estimated in August that the deficit would be just over $1 trillion for the 2022 fiscal year, which was nearly $400 billion less than they had originally forecast. Biden says those numbers are the product of his policies to stoke economic growth, like the American Rescue Plan. Those figures obscure the effects of the rescue plan, which was financed entirely with borrowed money. Much of the deficit reduction Biden is doing reflects the fact that both he and former President Trump signed laws that borrowed heavily in order to mitigate the damage of the pandemic recession. The deficit has fallen in large part because policymakers did not pass another large round of pandemic aid this year.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the danger of leaking secrets. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of the dangers of leaking secrets in the Islamic lifestyle. Well, Islam gives importance to keeping the secrets of the others, and this is important because it brings security, it brings trust, it brings reliability amongst the people and the society. But if someone leaks and if someone does not know the importance of keeping secrets, then obviously we should aware people about the consequences and the dangers which are waiting for us in the case of leaking secrets. One of the dangers is that through leaking secrets, we are spreading the evil and badness in the society. So if someone is leaking secrets of the others, he is basically spreading the badness, the evilness in the society. Therefore, we must be aware of that. As Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that, جُمِعَ الشَّرُّ فِي الْإِضَاعَةِ وَالْمُؤَخَاتِ الْأَشْرَارِ, that the shar, which is evil of the dunya, of this world and the hereafter, they both are gathered in leaking the secrets of the others and having friendship with bad people. Therefore, we must stop ourselves from having bad friends, from having a gathering which is not suitable, which is not good, which is not considered good, and should have a good gathering, good friends. Because it is also said that a mu'min or a person is known by his gathering. Therefore, this gathering is very important. And on the other hand, the second thing which is important is that we should pay attention towards the secrets, towards the personal life of the others, maybe the secret of the country. It might be about the family. It might be about myself, my friend, my brothers or sisters. Therefore, it is necessary to keep the secrets, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the dangers of leaking secrets in the Islamic lifestyle. We mentioned that by leaking the secrets, one of the dangers that we can face is that it will result in the spreading of the evil and badness in the society. This is the danger that we have. On the other hand, if we want to see that, what we can do. So one of the ways of keeping secrets tells that this person, the one who does not leak the secrets, it means that he is a faithful person. It means that he is a God-weary person. It means that he is a true believer. So one of the signs of those who do not leak the secrets, it's just opposite the evil. Because if someone is leaking the secrets of the others, he does not care about the people's secrets or the country's secrets or the families. It means on the other side, who cares about it? He is someone who have the iman, who is a true believer, the one who has taqwa, who is God-weary. And because he cares about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah has said to keep the secrets of others, then obviously this person who is a mu'min, who is a believer, he is basically taking care of the personal life, the family life, the social life, and the matters that are related to his country. He is a patriot for his country. He is someone who is trustworthy. And this is the sign of someone who keeps the secret. So when we want to share our secrets with someone, we must be careful. We should choose someone who is a true believer, someone who is God-weary, who thinks about God first and then he speaks. If we can find someone like this, then obviously it is easier and it is good to share our secrets with such people, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
After the Friday prayers, people of Iran poured into the streets to express their disgust at the heinous act of terror by Daesh Takfiri terrorists and ask for revenge against the group. Iran's leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has already assured the nation that the perpetrators will face due punishment. President Ebrahim Raisi has also said that the root cause of the crime has been identified and that Iran will deliver a decisive blow to the architects and operatives of this plot. A blow that will make them regret ever committing such act. Daesh had already tried to pull off similar terrorist attacks in the country when they plotted the parliament attack and the bombing of Ayatollah Khomeini's mausoleum that left a dozen Iranians dead. Iran's anti-terror attacks ramped up significantly following the attacks on its soil through Iran's martyred anti-terror icon, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. While these were the only attacks on Iran claimed by Daesh, there have been several other terrorist attacks by other, more globally obscure but equally vicious groups. Among them, the Mojahideen-e-Khalq organization, or the MKO, has the highest body count. 17,000 Iranians have died at the hands of the vile group that even joined forces with former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein during the Iran-Iraq war to carry out cross-border attacks. For years, the group was even on the U.S. list of terrorist groups before it was removed from the list in 2012 to receive funding more easily. Funding such as the massive annual events that the MKO manages to organize without having any backing by the people of Iran, neither inside the country nor outside. These events are often attended by top U.S. officials such as Donald Trump's attorney Rudy Giuliani, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, or a number of British members of parliament to at least attempt to give the so-called Free Iran Conventions the legitimacy it sorely lacks. Among other terrorist groups that, while definitely not on the scale of the previously mentioned two, have still tried to deprive Iran of its security, we can name Jandallah terrorist group led by Abdul Malik Righi. Righi's group was responsible for the death of tens of Iranians in the southeast province of Sistan and Balochistan, before he was arrested and executed by Iranian authorities. Separatist groups such as Al-Ahwaziyya and the Kurdish Komala have also been responsible for a few terrorist attacks in the west of Iran, with the latter serving a prominent role in the recent riots across the country. But their plot to capitalize on the riots to further their separatist agendas was quickly foiled by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. The IRGC carried out two ballistic missile attacks on Komala's bases in Iraq's northern Kurdistan region. The IRGC had warned Iraq prior to the attack that Iran will not tolerate the existence of such groups who were, as reported by the IRGC, plotting to attack Western Iran in its neighborhood. According to a joint statement between Iran's Ministry of Intelligence and the intelligence organization of the IRGC, involvement of the U.S. in the recent riots in Iran has been proven. The U.S. and its spy agencies have even branched out their plans in three stages: before, during, and after the unrests. The CIA is referred to in the joint statement as the main culprit for inciting the riots. But the CIA is aided by Israel's Mossad and Saudi Foreign Intelligence Services, with the help of the most vicious of terrorist groups. Inciting despair among the Iranian population with the help of the massive amounts of funding that is given to foreign Farsi-speaking media outlets is listed among the primary tactics used to incite the unrests. Teaching effective escalation tactics during unrests have also been documented as another tactic used by the spy agencies. But among the many other items listed, none of them would be possible without the massive funding that the US, UK, Israel, and their Saudi allies give to the media outlets and individuals who capitalize on people's emotions. Also, supposedly international platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter freely violate their own rules in this particular case and allow posts that incite violence to be freely uploaded onto their platforms. An extra $53 million have also been allocated by the CIA to give to these Farsi-speaking media outlets and individuals on top of their annual payments. Israeli influence, however, should not be ignored. Just recently, the IRGC dismantled a network of Mossad-affiliated terrorists in West Azerbaijan province. The investment of these spy agencies in inciting unrest in Iran has been proven time and time again, and cannot possibly fit into a short clip. Rest assured, you will hear about more evidence of foreign meddling in Iran's recent riots in the days and weeks to come.
Tehran has once again rejected baseless accusations about Iranian-made drones being used in the Ukraine war. The Islamic Republic's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdullahian, has clearly stated that Tehran would not remain indifferent if it is proven that Iranian drones are being used in the war in Ukraine against people. The top Iranian diplomat had previously stated that Tehran and Moscow have defensive cooperation, saying it's not Iran's policy to provide Russia with weapons and drones to be used in Ukraine. Tehran has time and again clearly stated its opposition to war and any escalation of conflict, urging self-restraint on both sides. Iranian officials say the allegations leveled against the country stem from an ongoing Western campaign to pressure the Islamic Republic. Russian officials have echoed similar remarks.
Everything that is now being done on the Iranian track is subordinated to one goal: pressure on this country. And Washington is mobilizing NATO and EU countries for this in support of its position.
Also, the US, EU, and UK have moved to impose sanctions on Iran over the baseless accusations, supporting the notion that the West only wants to put more pressure on Iran. Meanwhile, Britain, France, and Germany have called on the UN to investigate the allegation. But Iran's ambassador to the UN has described the possible probe as illegal within the framework of Resolution 2231. In a letter to the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antony Guterres, Amir Saidi Ravani argued that the UN arms embargo on Iran mentioned in the resolution has expired in 2020, saying this means no Iranian sale or transfer of weapons or related materials to other countries is ever since subject to the resolution. The Iranian diplomat also urged the international body not to act based on the anti-Iran allegations by Western countries. Meanwhile, Russia had described the claims by the Western states as conspiracy theories, warning the UN against conducting a probe into such allegations.
No arms transfers in violation of Resolution 2231 have been ever conducted by Iran, and no drones were supplied by Iran to Russia for the use in the conflict in Ukraine.
Moscow has warned that it would reassess its cooperation with the world body if it carries out an investigation into the origins of the drones. Tehran has dismissed accusations by some Western countries and their media outlets that it provided weapons, including drones, to Russia for deployment against Ukraine. Iran's foreign ministry has called the allegations unfounded and made on the basis of misinformation and ill-intentioned presumptions. The anti-Iran claims first emerged in July, with U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan alleging that Washington had received information indicating that the Islamic Republic was preparing to provide Russia with up to several hundred drones, including weapons-capable UAVs, on an expedited timeline for use in the war in Ukraine. However, the Pentagon said it could not confirm the transfer of any Iranian weaponry to Russia. Since the very beginning, Iran rejected the claims, with the country's foreign ministry stating Tehran's preparedness to hold dialogue with Ukraine towards nullification of the allegations. Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian has even proposed a joint meeting between Iranian and Ukrainian military personnel and experts to review battlefield evidence of Iranian drones used by Russia in Ukraine. Despite that, Kyiv and its allies repeated the baseless American narrative without providing any evidence. The US, EU, and UK imposed sanctions against the country. So, if Kyiv and the West are so sure, then why are they reluctant to provide detailed evidence that supports their claims? Plus, while Iran has managed to advance its defensive capabilities despite US sanctions, is Washington using Ukraine as a false pretext to bring the Europeans along in a bid to impose an arms embargo against Iran to hamper the country's progress in the defense sector?
Iran has witnessed a deadly terrorist attack. The carnage happened at a holy shrine in the south-central city of Shiraz in Fars province. It left over a dozen people dead, including women and children. Over two dozen people were also injured in the attack. The bloodbath happened at the Shah Cheragh Shrine, which is one of the popular pilgrimage sites in Iran. The Daesh terrorist group has claimed responsibility. The gunman shot his way into the shrine through one of the entrances. He then headed to the main compound, where he opened fire at pilgrims and staff. Eyewitnesses have told reporters that loud screams were heard in the women's section of the shrine at prayer time, when suddenly an armed man was spotted with a Kalashnikov firing indiscriminately in the compound of the shrine. Officials say the perpetrator is a non-Iranian national who has been arrested. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has issued a statement on the incident, saying that strong action must be taken to identify and tackle the root causes of such heinous crimes. The leader said that all people and entities in the country are responsible in the face of seditious acts by the enemy and their traitorous or ignorant stooges. He advised everyone to stay united against those undermining the people's security and disrespecting their sanctities. Iran says the attack is part of a larger plot to destabilize the country. Foreign Minister Amir Abdullahian says that Tehran has reliable information that shows that terrorists and foreign meddlers have created a multi-layered scheme to make the country insecure. He says this latest attack has unraveled the sinister intentions of those promoting terror and violence in Iran. Earlier, President Ebrahim Raisi expressed his condolences to the families of the pilgrims who were killed or injured in the attack.
These riots paved the way for terrorist attacks. They came to Shah Cheragh Mausoleum and sprayed with bullets innocent people who were worshipping God. The ground for such terrorist attacks was prepared by riots.
The carnage in Iran has sparked a wave of condemnation. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has strongly censored the attack and called for bringing the perpetrators to justice. Syrian Foreign Ministry has called the mass shooting a cowardly act, while blaming the U.S. for using terror attacks as a tool to coerce nations into submission. Russia and China have also condemned the carnage. And Pakistan's Foreign Office spokesperson and the Speaker of the National Assembly have condemned the attack, saying the people of Pakistan share the grief of the Iranian nation. Sayyid Ammar al-Hakim, the head of Iraq's National Wisdom Coalition, also decried the attack. Iranian officials say the terrorist attack has revealed the actual extent of the enemy's cruelty. It comes against the backdrop of the latest foreign-backed riots, which erupted after a young woman, Mahsa Amini, died in the hospital 3 days after she collapsed in police custody. Iran has denounced the silence of human rights organizations on the terrorist crime in Shiraz. It says the terrorists based in the U.S. and Europe enjoy unwavering backing there, and Western countries refuse to publicly condemn terrorist incidents inside of Iran.
After 20 years of American deployment in Africa, the Pentagon has admitted that the area is getting worse. The Pentagon says the security environment has deteriorated and that violence has expanded in intensity and geographic reach. A report from the Pentagon's Africa Center for Strategic Studies has shown that militant attacks increased by 300% in Africa over the past decade. Violent events linked to militant groups have doubled since 2019. More than 6,200 violent events were attributed to terrorist groups in 2022, a 21% increase from the previous year. Almost 15,000 deaths were linked to the increase in terrorist-related activity. The West Sahel region and Somalia were the militancy hotspots where nearly 95% of the attacks had been carried out since 2019. Extremist groups affiliated with Daesh and Al-Qaeda militants, such as Al-Shabaab, are mainly responsible for the attacks. In this regard, the Pentagon's African Command, or AFRICOM, whose area of responsibility covers all of Africa except Egypt, describes the duties of the force as promoting regional security, stability, and prosperity, while assisting to strengthen the security forces of allied nations. But it also admits AFRICOM will work to advance U.S. national interests on the continent. Both Somalia and the Sahel are actively hosting U.S. troops, and the U.S. now has some 30 military bases scattered across Africa. Former U.S. President Donald Trump had ordered the military to pull out all its troops from Africa. However, the incumbent ordered the U.S. military to maintain a permanent presence in Africa. Last year, U.S. President Joe Biden authorized the deployment of hundreds of American troops to reestablish a persistent U.S. military presence. The U.S. maintains its military presence in Africa under the pretext of fighting terrorism, but human rights groups say civilians have been caught in the crossfire and casualties from U.S. airstrikes are higher than have been reported. Also, Washington does not have a good track record, even when it comes to delivering on its stated claims of fighting terrorism. Somalia is a perfect example of systematic American military failures across the continent. After 2 decades of deployments, drone strikes, and commando raids to fight Al-Shabaab terrorists in the country, the militant group has proven resilient and is still able to carry out attacks in the country as well as neighboring states. History has shown that the U.S. has brought instability and conflict to any region it has established a military foothold. Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and Libya have all been subject to U.S. interventions and are experiencing chaos as a result. In recent years, there has been growing recognition of the militarization of U.S. foreign policy in Africa, especially following the establishment of the Africa Command in 2007. Despite its years-long military presence in Africa, the U.S. has not only failed to combat extremists and terrorists, but has also been involved in coups and the overthrow of several governments. Since 2008, U.S.-trained African military officers have attempted at least 9 coups in 5 Western African countries. According to a report, 8 such coups, which took place in Burkina Faso, Guinea, Mali, and Mauritania in different years, were successful. The failed coup was in Gambia in 2014. Confirmation is reported from the U.S. Africa Command that several African military leaders who staged coups in their countries participated in AFRICOM's flintlock exercises. Since 2015, five coups have been carried out by military leaders who had previously participated in Special Operations Command Africa flintlock exercises. The U.S. Department of Defense claims that these exercises, which were first conducted in Africa in 2005, are intended to strengthen the capacity of African countries to fight terrorism. But are they? Despite their claims, Americans have only been harbingers of more coups and more instability in Africa.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. We really welcome you all. Thank you so much for joining us today. And here are again some of the students of Sevier International School, Brother Fawad Haider, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Sayyid Ali Nasir. I really welcome you all. Salaam alaikum, and how are you? Fine?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Fawad?
Fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Everything all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Ali Nasir? How about you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Great. Okay, that's great. That's great. So, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, so before we start, let me tell you, today, inshallah, we'll be working on Ayah 48th, okay? So, yes. Brothers, before we go to the explanation and tajweed rules, let's listen to the recitation of this surah altogether.
واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون.
So, thank you so much. I will be reading now and make sure you listen and repeat. All right, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
We are on Ayah 48 of Surah Al-Baqarah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا
واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا
ولا يقبل منها شفاعة
ولا يقبل منها شفاعة
ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون
ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون.
أحسنتم. Okay. In this ayah, Allah Almighty reminds us of something very much important, okay? وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا. Beware, aware of the day, okay? That لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. Nobody is gonna do something for somebody else, for the other one, okay? When no soul shall compensate for another. Oh, here we are brothers, okay? We help one another. But when it comes to the day of judgment, nobody helps each other. Everyone is busy with himself. Okay? You cannot call, brother, brother, help me, please. There is no help. Do not ask for help. The help is only with Allah Almighty himself. And Allah Almighty says, وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً. Neither any intercession shall be accepted from him or from it, okay? Do you know what does shafa'a mean? I will simply say this. It's an important point here, okay? Shafa'a, look, someone tries his best, okay, to achieve something. But he can't achieve it. So then somebody else comes and helps him. This help is called shafa'a. But if someone doesn't try, doesn't make his efforts, so if someone else come in and help him, it's not called shafa'a. Shafa'a is when you do your best to achieve something, okay? But you can't achieve it, then someone's help comes for you, okay, to help you. Like in the Day of Judgment, for example, in this world, okay, we have done our best to do our prayers on time, to be good Muslim, okay? But still, we couldn't be that Muslim or that mu'min that Allah Almighty wanted. So in the Day of Judgment, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our Ma'asumin Alayhi Wasallam, even Shuhada, okay, will come by the permission of Allah Almighty, they will help us there. This is called Shafa'a. And this is not something that, which is kufr, God forbid, or shirk. Because they help us by the permission of Allah Almighty. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is there, okay? Who can do shafa'a except by the permission of Allah Almighty. It's all by the permission of Allah Almighty. So, make sure, okay, in the Day of Judgment, it's all about us, okay? We are just there, okay? يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. The day when the brother, okay, runs away from his brother. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. And the father does not help his son. So, وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. They will not be helped except Allah Almighty wishes. It's all about Allah Almighty. So, make sure to get closer to Allah Almighty, okay? Nobody else. So, guys, let's go for the explanation. We did the explanation. Let's go for the tajweed rules, okay? Make sure you refer to that tafasir book, okay? Guys?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And also our friends, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, please make sure you go to the tafasir book and, inshallah, learn more about this ayah.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا. وَاتَّقُوا starts with a short vowel sound and ends with a long vowel sound. وَاتَّقُوا. Make sure. And يَوْمًا فَوَاد يَوْمًا. Okay, تَنْوِين فَتْحَة. Yeah? تَنْوِين فَتْحَة.
Yes.
Next
yes,
word
yes.
starts with?
لَام.
لَام. Okay, تَنْوِين or نُونِ سَاكِين plus لَام. What rule is applied?
Idgham.
Idgham, yes. Merging, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Merging from those four rules. No rule. We had a rule by called no rule.
No rule.
Merge. Merge, hide.
Hide.
Change.
Change.
No rule. These four rules. No rule, merge, hide, change.
Change.
What? Which one is here? Merging.
Merge.
You should merge that tanween, the n sound with lam, and the n sound changes to the lam sound.
Yes.
Simple.
Yes.
Yawman changes to?
Yawmal. And it's not with ghunna. You don't need to produce a nasal sound to stick around or, for example, prolong the sound for two counts. No. Yawmal la tajzi. Right? Yawmal la. Then tajzi. The letter jim is sucking. Who knows the rule? There is a rule when the jim is sucking.
No. Qutbijat letters.
Yeah, it's from Qutbijat letters.
Al-qalam.
Bouncing sound.
Yes,
so Qutbijat letters, what are the letters in Qutbijat? Qutbijat.
Yes.
It's very simple. Remember these two words? Qutbijat.
Yes.
Qaf.
Ta.
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 Ba. Jim.
Dal.
Whenever you see them having a sukun on the top or having no vowel sound, make sure you bounce the sound. Taj. And we learned we have three levels of qalqala, yeah?
Yes.
Normal one.
Light one, yes. Heavy one.
What? No, normal one, a very...
Heavy one?
Heavy one, and heavy one we had, yes?
Yes.
We didn't have any light. That light was normal one.
So that's...
Yeah, okay. So normal bounce. When you have no bounce, it's called no bounce. When you have normal bounce, it's called normal bounce. So a little bounce the sound. So this is normal bounce. Tajzi nafsun. Okay. Now, nafsun. Hassan, what does nafsun end with?
Sin.
Sin. On the top of sin we have? Tanween?
Tanween.
Tanween dhamma. So, tanween dhamma plus, next word starts with?
Ayn.
Ayn. Tanween dhamma plus ayn. Ayn is from what letters?
As rest letters.
Rest of the letters. Mashallah,
no,
Ali
Nasir.
No.
Throat letters.
Yes. Not rest of the letters. Throat letters. A, ha, ha, a, gha.
Yes.
Throat letters.
Yeah.
Yes? Kha. Yes. Throat letters. So, for throat letters, what rule is applied?
Idhar.
The rule of?
No rule.
No change, no height, no merit, no rule.
No rule
is applied here, okay?
Yes.
No rule. So, how do you apply it now?
You
just
don't
read
apply
it.
Anything.
Just
yes.
Read it.
Without changing anything to anything else. Nafsun an nafsin, right? Nafsun an fast. Nafsun an but. The word an ends with nun sakin. So, plus.
Nun.
So.
Idgham mislain.
An. Idgham.
Mislain.
Idgham. Yeah. It's called mislain also.
Just
because
triple.
The nun are like the same. It's called ghunna. Idgham with ghunna, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Nun is from your mother letters.
Idgham.
So nun talking plus nun.
Yeah.
You merge them together.
Yeah.
And you prolong the sound for two counts. Or three counts. Yeah. But make sure you produce a nasal sound. An. An nafsin. Hassan, say this.
An nafsin.
Ahsan, nasal sound. Hussein.
An nafsin.
Ahsan, mashallah. An nafsin. So, nafsun an nafsin. Ali Nasir?
From an nafsin.
No, nafsun an nafsin. Ali Nasir?
Nafsun an nafsin.
Ahsan, nafsun an nafsin. Great. So nafsin again ends with a tanween kasra. Again we have tanween. So the next letter is
sheen.
Fawad says, what rule is applied? Sheen is from what group of letters?
Rest of the letters.
What rule is applied?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa, just hide the sound of that tanween. Huh? Hide it.
Yes.
Who is good at hiding? Fawad is good. Fawad, hide it. He's good at hiding chocolates. So hide it.
Nafsun shay'a.
Ah, make sure that's not a meme sound. That was good, but it was close to meme sound. No. Nafsun shay'a. But I told you one day, I remember that. If you try to produce an ikhfa sound here, okay? Apply the rule ikhfa. Make sure it's sheen. Sheen, it's a bit different. Hide the sound of the noon and make sure you are producing a sound which tells the listener that the next letter is sheen. Okay, nafsin. Look, do you think... you're waiting for the shin sound, yes?
Yes.
When I say nafsin, you're waiting for the shin sound. Yeah. So make sure that ikhfa is this way. Nafsun an nafsin shay'a. Right? The shin sound is kind of clear here. Who can do it? Huh? Hussein, do it.
Nafsun an nafsin shay'a.
Ah, make sure the shin sound, practice it more, okay. And the next rule, wala shay'a. Again, it has tanween. Too many rules in this ayah.
Yeah.
So it has a tanween fatha. Again, we have.
Wow.
Then what we have? What rule is applied?
Idgham.
Idgham. From those four rules? No height, no merge, no change, yes. No rule. Which one is applied here?
Merge.
Merging.
Merge.
No rule? No, sorry. No rule? I mean, we had no rule, change, merge, height. So merge is here. Yes, we got to merge. And if you merge this, you have to stay here, okay? And read it, prolong the sound, I mean. Because it is idgham with ghunna, with nasal sound.
Yes.
So, Fawad, how do you say this? Shay'an with waw, how do you say this?
Shay'an.
You gotta produce a nasal sound now for two counts. Shay'an. Right? Shay'an. Alright. So, Shay'an wala yuqbalu. Qaf must be pronounced with a bouncing sound.
Yes.
And minha nun plus ha, no. Rule ilhar shafa'atun wala again here idgham wala yu'khadhu minha nun sakin plus ha again idhar adlu again idgham wala hum yunsarun sad is from rest of the letters ikhfa yunsarun. That's all about tajweed rules in this ayah. I hope inshallah you've learned. Make sure you practice. So do you have any questions, guys?
No
questions.
No.
So, let's now listen to this ayah with tajweed rules, okay? Then inshallah we'll end this session. Okay, alhamdulillah, I hope inshallah you have learned the tajweed rules in this ayah. Make sure you refer to the tafsir book for explanations and also listen again to our audio for practicing the tajweed rules. See you inshallah in the coming session. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevilla International Schools Network. Guys, no questions?
No, sir.
See you inshallah. Thanks for joining us today. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.